Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 101. That's right. We have taken a little bit of time off because
we're never going to get to the next milestone.
This was the next milestone. Yeah. Record again. This is the milestone. So here we are. And episode 101, we are taping on the day that is 700 times more likely that men get vasectomies than any other day in the year. The beginning of the national championship 64 team tournament.
Oh yeah, it is great fucking TV to watch too.
So y'all didn't even know where I was going with that, and you know, for folks who haven't gotten their vasectomies, they're probably squirming a little bit right now. Yeah. Or you could be like me and get it anytime, because I got mine in November. See, any time of year is a good time to get a vasectomy.
Well, yeah,
ain't that right, Carl?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, so I'm behind you. You out here pulling the fire. Fuck around, get weak to the flesh.
I ain't gonna afford it.
Brother, come on. It was an outpatient procedure. Get some ice cream balls and hang out. It's fun.
I don't need to. Mm. She had all that removed.
Oh, no, we're going to leave that right there. We're going to leave that right there.
Third kid.
There you go.
We're going to leave that right there. We're going to leave that right there. So check it out. We are Get Out the Room. We are horror, pop culture, and whatever we feel like talking about podcasts, as you can tell by the opening 3 minutes of the show. We can find us anywhere good podcasts are found. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, Listenopoly. I even still think we're on the Wicked Radio Network. Shout out to those folks. Oh, and now with more children.
Yeah.
It's always great to be joined by the family. We are a family show, not really. Kids should not listen to us. Do not listen to us if you're children. Don't let your children listen to this. My homegirl Rose, she was listening to this shit in the car. We're kids. Like, this shit is explicit.
Oh, Lord, say all the words.
You know, don't let your little mixed kids hear this. We want to embrace them later. Don't lose them early. Don't fuck around letting them hear this early.
Yeah. This is PG. Nah.
The PG? No. We are R to MA. Mature. We may not be as far as, say, a Serbian film.
Oh, yikes.
What is?
Mm-hmm. But there may be some Once Upon a Time in the Hood things that happen.
Lord have mercy.
Hey, you know what? Hey, speaking of that, before we get off that, you remember back when we went to that Horror Hound convention, and we saw a Serbian film, and we were going to get it, and we were going to just like send it to everybody on the show and go like, watch this and discuss it. So that show was this weekend. I went with my pops on Sunday, and there was another table with another Blu-ray there, and I was going to get it and do the same thing and send it to you guys and see if we do it, but I couldn't pull the trigger.
Has it gone up in price? It was $10 then.
It was, I think it was $15.
Yeah. Because I know, like, even for $10, I was like, that's a lot. Like, am I going to spend $10 to scar myself? I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
This doesn't seem like a good idea.
What's the title of the film?
A Serbian film. Don't look it up, man.
Hey, if you look it up and read it, you'll scar yourself.
Don't do that, Carl.
No, I was just going to see what they sell for on eBay.
Oh, okay.
10 or 15. Like, there's no markup. Like, no one's trying to make money off this film. This is about as bad as it gets. Although, I heard the Profane exhibit is coming out at some point.
Yeah, but see, Profane Exhibit, we've already, like, we watched it already, and like, or parts of it already. Like, I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be surprised if we ever actually get to see a cut of it, but I'd like to.
I agree.
You said you went to Horror Hound this weekend. Did they have any viewing?
They did, but I only went. Like my dad and I, the past couple of years, we've been going on like Sundays for a couple hours. We just get for that day. So.
The best part of that show is the film festival.
Oh, I know it is, and I say that every year. It's just this weekend the only time that we could go was at like Sunday morning for a couple hours. So
yeah, that was the profane exhibit slot last time.
Right. I mean, we actually got to see that, and we got to see the Maniac.
That's right. The Maniac was fantastic. Hey, Carl, that's a new cover, by the way. That's not the original cover.
Nothing but posters. No DVDs at all on eBay.
Yeah, they shouldn't sell this. It's not something that should be sold. Yeah, seriously. Like, I'm not trying to be alarmist and over the top. Like, if you're a horror fan and you've seen this, your life is already fucked up. If you are not, and you value sanity and sleep and regular bowel movements and shit, don't fuck around and sleep.
Well, some coconut oils, pills.
Look, here's what I'll tell you: the fish
straighten you right out of
the apple cider vinegar. None of that shit. It's not here for you. This is not approved. This is not get out of the room approved. This is the opposite of get out of the room approved. This is when every single motherfucker up here who has any clue what this film is telling you to stay far fucking away from this. And we are depraved people who have given up, like, cumulatively, probably weeks worth of time to poor films. Don't do this, people. We watched all the fucking Human Centipedes and was like, don't see that. Don't do this.
Yeah, see, I haven't done that, so.
Human Centipedes.
I have.
Yeah.
Yikes. Wait, you've seen all of them?
Every last single filthy one.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yep. What's your boy, Max Hardcore?
Let's say it again, folks. We do this. So you don't have to.
Yep. The first one, I could see where the vision was. The second one, these motherfuckers just went too far. And the third
just went ham.
And the third one, it's in a jail. It's like, it's too many.
Yikes, man. Yes. I mean, I've read it, looked into 2 and 3 just when they came out of curiosity, and that's another one that I'm reading about, and I'm like, why would you do this?
Yeah, no, really, skip it. If you're at a party, and for those of you who have bad friends, and they want to play this at a party that you're at.
Yeah, leave that party. Those are not your friends.
Yeah, these are not
your friends.
Like, if somebody wants to give you a beer on the way out, that's not your friend. If you're walking to the car and they're like, here, take a roadie. No, that's not your friend. This is the same thing. If someone has a collection of people that they say they like feel very strongly about in a dear kind of, warm, loving way, and they're like, yeah, let's fucking watch Human Centipede. That's not your friend. They don't love you. They don't love you.
That's fantastic.
These are not good people. These are not folks you want to bring around your kids. This is not like family material, motherfuckers. You want to be calling play aunties and uncles and shit. Oh, let's go hang out with Uncle Damon. He showed me some terrible shit that I can never unsee. No, these motherfuckers is not for your family. They're not for you people. Don't bring them around. Okay.
That's great.
Look, there's some of y'all right now listening to shit. Think to yourself, Damon, you're being a little harsh. Fuck that. I've seen it. And for those of you who have seen it, Tone's seen it.
Harsh at all.
Oh, look, tell me if I've gone too far.
Nope. Keep going, dog. Go in.
Right. I haven't gone far enough. Who the fuck is going to give you money to show a baby get born in black and white in the inside of a car when they're human centipeding on the inside of a fucking factory? And then she dies, and the baby, like, no.
Oh, okay. All right. That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. We don't need to be talking about a little. I know the scene you're talking about because I've read about it, and that was enough for me to just go, like, yep, I'm not ever watching that shit.
No, I watched it. I sat right here on this couch right now. Yeah. I watched it. And there are moments in your life where, like, you can kind of come back to and say, you know what? can't come back from that. Yeah. I can't go back to the point in which before I saw that. You know, when they tell you about things you can't unsee. I can never unsee my parents having sex. Fuck out of here. That is some shit you can't unsee.
I cannot unsee the car accident coming back to Pittsburgh. We got, there's traffic on the highway, and we were in a shuttle bus from the airport, and actually a guy ran up and pounded on the door asking if anybody needed new CPR. And the bus driver actually threw the bus in park and left and told me to sit in the seat and let him back in when he comes back. So I got a whole bus full of people. I'm sitting at the driver's seat. Bus is running on the middle of the highway. He comes back. I open the door, and I'm like, everything okay? He just looks at me and goes, no, there's not even a brain left in the dude's head.
Fuck.
And I'm like, wow. And so I go back to my seat, which happened to be the front row. That's why I wound up sitting in his seat while he left. And they had a sheet over the body, and his feet were poking out. And his head was pointing the direction of the front of our bus. And while they're slowly letting cars pass, as we're passing the body, the headlights lighting up the sheet, the cop walks over and grabs the sheet and pulls it up over his feet, completely exposing the head that no longer had a top of a head. And the headlights just lit up the whole open area where the brain used to be in the bloody edged mess laying on the highway.
God.
And he was a drunk driver, no seatbelt, and he rolled his car and actually came out of it, and the car rolled over him and popped the top of his head off. Ah. And as we drive past the body, I go, holy shit. And the driver turns to me and he goes, and that's his brain. As we pass a lump in the road.
Shit.
You ever seen The Wire?
No.
It's a very famous quote. That's what you get for giving a fuck when it wasn't your turn to give a fuck. That is exactly what just happened.
Wow.
Yeah, wonderful. That's great. Hey, man, hey, and all this, and that was just the extended intro. We haven't even actually intro'd any of us yet.
Yeah. I mean, for those who may not know, I'm your host, Day, and I brought my people back. the motherfucker who rolled over a distended brain in the middle of a goddamn street. That's Statman and the Supreme Effects guy, Carl from Connecticut. Look, man, I'm not even going to give you a chance to talk. You talked enough.
That's all right.
And the guy who set up your hotel room before you even get there, chilling out in Detroit. Where is Sky?
I actually don't dislike the city. Well, actually, until recently. So,
hey, man, look, Detroit got wolves, bro. You should be as complimentary as possible. That's a great place. They make some outstanding people of good stature and good constitution.
Oh, okay. No, I but see, that's the thing. I don't disagree. It's just I'm jaded because of work.
Understood. Yeah. Keep, as the aforementioned, keep that same energy. And last of all, but certainly not least, Greatest American Hero, my guy. Tone, what's up, man?
Hey, believe it or not.
Cool, great. So let's we're gonna go ahead and get into the latest spin around the greatest cinematic universe that has been created at this point since Star Wars.
We passed
all Harry Potter, huh?
Absolutely, fuck all that.
Look, I got nothing against Harry and his homeboys, but
no, I got nothing against Harry.
Ain't holding no candle against this shit.
Look, I put it like
not,
this.
Not the house that Stan built. Like, oh, no.
True indeed. But let's think about it like this. Harry Potter's been around for roughly 20 years in written form.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Right? And
so you got 20.
And how far back do these Marvel comic books go.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I've been reading them all my life, so at least that far.
Right.
50 plus.
I'm just a little
50, north 50 of 60 20. Years, right? You know, you Captain America's been out since the 50s, right?
Oh, yeah.
60s.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I tell the story often. Got my first comic book handed to me by my father.
Captain America, I thought, was out in the 30s of World War II.
It was. It was the height of war movie, yeah.
There you go. Late so 30, Captain America's been out forever. So we're building off of that, right? And we have now had the single most cohesive cinematic universe with multiple different franchises, properties, characters, the whole deal. And we've recently landed on Captain Marvel. Following the events of the Infinity War, you know, for those who have not seen Infinity War and you're listening
Captain
to this
Marvel.
No. Marvel is a person. Captain Marvel is who we came to see. But
founded in 1939 as Timely Comics.
There you go. Statman came through with the stats.
Started using the name Marvel in 1961, 58 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So a middle-aged man who's on Medicare is the greatest cinematic universe of all time. my bad, Joe.
Hey, but, you know, speaking of this, I was thinking about this today. So before the movie, they played a trailer for The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah, La Llorona. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess.
La Llorona. Don't look.
It's not La, it's Yellow. It's not La Llorona.
All right. So excuse my whiteness. So
Nope. Most people can't say that shit. It's hard to say. Which is why that shit sat on the shelf for 3 years, because nobody could fucking.
But I mean, you know what they revealed just recently about that movie, correct?
It's a Blumhouse joint.
Not only that.
It's also connected to The Conjuring.
Correct. It's part of the Conjuring universe. And isn't it kind of funny that right now the Conjuring universe is like another big shared universe? I mean, they've successfully done it.
Yeah. But
that's wild.
The thing about the Conjuring universe is they set it up very well with The Room. They went into The Room and you saw 100 different horror artifacts of which you could start franchises from.
You could technically do that with Cabin in the Woods, though, too.
Sure, but Cabin in the Woods is too meta. Cabin in the Woods wasn't an actual film. Cabin in the Woods was a high-level look at what the state of horror was.
It was film commentary in the guise of
correct.
But my question in regards to The Conjuring, do you think that they did that intentionally? Do you think they were trying to set up a universe? Because I don't.
Absolutely not.
I think they fell into it.
Yeah, they fell ass-first into it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
now Marvel, on the other hand, this was an act of intention. Like they
super intentional
and planned. You know, like they really this was something that they had planned to do. Yo,
I can't imagine what Kevin Feige's board looks like.
The flow chart.
Yeah, imagine what that board looks like, yo.
Man, he be on some Rain Man shit for real. Because honestly, like being able to pull off what he pulled off over 3 or 4 films would be impossible.
Right.
Where are we at? 18 now?
20?
No. Oh, this is I think Captain Marvel is 22.
22, yeah.
This is
so hold on. Is Hulk included in that 22?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The Incredible Hulk, yes.
Yes, yeah. Not Ang Lee's Hulk.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. The Ed Norton Hulk.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Continue.
It's number 20. Hold on a minute. Let's see.
Hey, Carl, can you go ahead and set up this this latest?
21. Captain Marvel's 21. Avengers Endgame will be 22.
Okay.
What would you like to know about Carol Danvers?
You know what? Don't give us a whole bunch on Carol Danvers. Set up this film. Where it stands after Infinity War, why we're here, why we're paying attention, why we care.
All right. This entire movie is an introduction to the character. It is entirely done in flashback or in the, is it 80s or 90s? Early 90s.
Early 90s. Grunge 90s. So
come on, son. We lived through those years. Don't act brand new.
It's all a blur, dude.
He was in Pittsburgh at a special effects school at that point.
Yep. And to be completely honest, and I'm going to be completely honest, if you are a comic book nerd, you didn't really need to see this movie at all. I mean, they did put a couple little twists in there that we'll discuss.
Spoilers is on the way, bitches. If you haven't seen the film, back out. Back out. Just go ahead, skip to later on.
But if you're a comic book nerd and you know who Captain Marvel is and you know the unbelievably complicated story of Carol Danvers, who's had more powers than I currently own pairs of underwear.
I don't know if you want to broadcast that.
I was about to say, that's not where you want to go. You should stay away from that. That's not what we're bringing up right now at 11:29 at night. That's not good. That's
unnecessary and inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we
still have, true.
I think like we have gone into the animal husbandry. That's not the direction we want to take the podcast right now, Carl. Let's go somewhere else. Well, let's take this. Let's go above line, above board. Let's keep going now.
All right, more power sets than I have cars in my driveway.
There you go.
There we go.
I don't even know where I was going anymore. This is
It don't matter.
But it's an introduction of this character who is super powerful to the layman. So when she is introduced in the next movie, you're not going, "Who the hell is this
girl?"
I mean, she got her introduction in the mid-credits scene, which was the most important scene.
All right, I got a stupid question. Was there another end credit scene?
Yeah, there was.
There was, but it wasn't worth your time.
I'm about to say I missed it then, so we did walk out.
it wasn't anything to write home about.
No, after 21 films, you still leaving before the last credits? What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's a good point.
Yeah, that was a rookie mistake, Carl. You know better.
I mean, you've been reading comics before the rest of us was born. Not to throw shade at you.
Wow.
Not to throw shade at you, bro. You know? But I'm just saying.
It is true. I've been reading comics since 76.
Yikes.
You got me by a couple years.
Girl.
Just a few. I thought I was going to be able to get you, but nah, you got me.
Yeah, both of us, Tone and I, are 79. So.
Yep.
No, but I'll just say this, you are now locked into a character that is super powerful. They decided to give us a female-led movie without a romantic connection. She is not the damsel. We are the goddamn damsels. All of us. Every last one of us are the damsels, and she is the hero coming to save our asses. Brie Larson, I love Lashana Lynch as the chocolatey, incredible Maria Rambeau. I want to see more of her acting skills.
We will. You know that's coming.
Well, she's a British actress. She's done a lot of period pieces. She's really, really talented. So I would love to see where that goes. But the digital de-aging of Samuel Jackson, fantastic.
Agreed.
Almost
seamless. Almost seamless.
I agree.
The thick head of hair on Coulson.
There you go. The de-aging of our guy, Clark Judge. And on top of that.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, exactly. He got DH too.
Hey, it's good to see him. By the way, it's good to see him back in on the big screen too.
Yeah.
It was good to see him, wasn't it? I was a little more excited about that.
He's the only one that's gone back and forth between big and small.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Even Kobe Smulders has never made the jump. So
that's a disservice cool. that we talked about.
You do know Samuel L. Jackson was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
For half a goddamn second. That don't count. Don't count.
You and your rules.
Look, hey, wait, actually, I think Maria Hill was in an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I believe.
An episode. Fucking Agent Coulson ran an entire goddamn franchise. Get out of here. Stop.
6 seasons.
Stop fucking nitpicking, man. This shit is real.
Oh, whoa, whoa, what? Oh, calm down.
My bad, Joe. I've been drinking. check it out. But on top of that, the MVP in low-key did not see this coming at all was Ben Mendelsohn.
Who is absolutely
the leader of the Skrulls.
Hilarious.
Leader of the Skrulls and is chewing scenery every time he gets an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. He's funny. He's charming. He's engaging. His accent goes back and forth. Everything he does is good. Like, in, if you want me to break it down to DC, he good. You know? He good all the time. Every scene he in, he good. The Skrulls is good. I'm here for all of it. Tone.
Great.
I know you were not particularly looking forward to this going in. Holler at me.
I was not. Similar to Carl. Haven't been reading comics quite as long as Carl has, but quite a long time. I know the history here. I've never been a fan of the character, to be quite honest. And it's funny because that strikes me as interesting because, truth be told, I was never a fan of Captain America either. But that first Captain America movie had a brother sold. And similarly, in this regard, because she is slated to be the new leader of the Avengers, wasn't really feeling her as a character, never really have. But the way they the execution of this movie is fucking spectacular. And what I liked about it was that, you know, they didn't make her too fucking nice. You know what I mean? Like, she's cocky. I mean, I've got a little bit of experience with the Fly Boys and Girls. They are a cocky bunch. Cocky bunch. She's true to form.
To be a pilot, that's the only way to make it, man.
Yeah, no. And she's cocky, but she's confident. She's got, there's some warmth to her. But again, and sort of like the, there's sort of like a buddy cop aspect to this film.
Oh, yeah.
Her and Nick Fury. And it's really interesting to, you know, they could have made the decision just to show him as a cantankerous young man, but I feel like this is part of the reason why Feige's universe with Marvel has succeeded so well, because they really think things through. They show you an unjaded, happy, enthusiastic, even goofy Nick Fury.
Yeah, and he's not beat down by the pressure of what he knows.
Right, right. And they take you through the process. And by the end of the movie, you can start to see how he becomes the Nick Fury that we know.
Absolutely.
And I think
he's not supposed to be that early on. To jump off that, just very briefly, Tony, I'll let you continue. There's a friend of mine who hated.
Go ahead, Tanya.
There's a friend of mine that hated the idea that Nick Fury had all this background, and then he, you know, he's going, well, I don't understand how he has, you know, he's Black Ops and all this, and then he's acting all kind of goofy and whatnot. I go, he's never dealt with an alien. He even says that in the movie.
Yep.
They've never dealt with an alien before. And I mean, this girl crashes down through a blockbuster, and they've never had to deal with this shit before. So
here's the thing.
He could be asking God, how would he know how to deal with that?
Yeah, but the thing is, she wasn't the one that freaked him out. It was after the car crash when his whole worldview shifted.
Right, exactly right.
Right.
He even said so. He was like, I ain't really take none of the shit you talking about seriously until I saw this motherfucker change right in front of me.
So are we going to bring up Nick Fury's actual history, or?
Well, I think this is
going to have to.
The resident historian, Carl, I think this is where you dropped for me, bro. Because, one of the things, the pieces that you said kind of irritated you was his original backstory of how he did actually lose his eye the first time. You know, jump in. Give me that.
All right. Well, first off, Nick Fury is as old as Captain America.
Yes.
Nick Fury takes a failed version of the super soldier formula. And when I say failed, it fails in creating a super soldier, but what it succeeds in is not letting you age. So, and it does boost his strength just a pinch. So he is stronger than like some super fit person that appears to be the same age as him, even though he's over 100. And he was part of the Howling Commandos, which you saw in Captain America without Nick Fury.
Yep. Which I thought was strange, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. I did as well.
Well, but I guess I'm looking at it more the, you know, the live action version is, it, you know, Nick Fury's, he's just not a part of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they had already cast Samuel Jackson for that, right?
I got to be honest. I think they missed an opportunity there.
Yeah, I think so too.
I truly do.
And he originally, I'm not going to say how he loses his eye in the movie. Let it be a surprise. It bothers me a little, but
I agree.
Because of his backstory and his history, he lost it. I believe saving someone from, he got it from shrapnel.
He got it from shrapnel.
Right. It was a shrapnel.
And I believe he was saving someone in the process and got caught in the blast.
Yeah. It makes him cooler. He was white, he had curly hair. But it was the ultimate version of Nick Fury that changed him to Samuel Jackson-like. And then...
No, now, I mean, let us all also keep in mind, this version of Nick Fury is not based on the original Nick Fury.
Correct.
This version of Captain Marvel is not based on the original version.
Correct. Well, yeah, true.
And do you know why?
Yeah, because Marvel is an actual man.
No.
And?
That's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, well, please enlighten me, historian, sir.
All right, Marvel was Marvel, and Marvel died.
Right.
And then Marvel gave his powers to Carol Danvers. Making her Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, she was Ms. Marvel first, yeah.
Right.
And then, so that's it's kind of like Green Lantern. It's kind of Green Lantern.
That's exactly what it is. Marvel decided that it was a little too much like the whole Green Lantern thing.
Yep.
Yep. So that's, a dying that's alien bestows a Terran with powers.
Correct.
So that's why it was tweaked. Which I don't really have an issue with.
No, I don't have an issue with it.
Honestly, I think all the changes they made worked really, really well on screen. Annette Bening as
great.
I thought amazing. She was fantastic. I thought she was
great. She was good. She was good.
She looked like she had a lot of fun. She looked like she was happy to be there. And like you know, her fucking trailer was stuffed with the finest cheeses and salted meat. Wow. She sounded like she had a great fucking time, man. She was happy to be to work every day.
But she was fun. She was fun. She's a good actress, and you know, it's funny, I see these like good, great actors, you know, sort of slumming it in these Marvel roles now. You know, they want to build another beach house. They come and get that Disney money, and I ain't mad at it, you know what I'm saying? But then I just forget, you know, I forget just how much charm goes into this craft. Like, God damn it, she was charming. Funny and warm, commanded authority, like, she was just all the things. I was very impressed with her.
She was, like you said, she was all the things. And, you know, she was one of the... So, I was a little worried about Jude Law going into this. And...
He was good.
He was good opposite Brie Larson.
Yep.
You know, let me go ahead and get up on my little feminist totem pole. Just go ahead and take my stand down this hill. I don't give a shit. You know, if you have a problem with Brie Larson, that shit is on you, not her. Because she was fantastic. She put in the work to be in shape. She brought a great shtick to Carol Danvers, the human aspect of it, her little assholery, I absolutely loved. I thought her play with Maria Rambeau when she finally got all of her memories was really, really cool. I thought her interpersonal buddy cop routine with Samuel Jackson was fucking perfect. Everything that she gave me, I'm here for.
Yeah, I don't. Everyone who says she's stiff and wooden didn't see the fucking movie, so you shouldn't listen to a word out of their mouth.
Look, one of the guys that I talked to online, he said, look, if you have a problem with this, you need to look at yourself and take really cool stock of why are you saying this? Because it has nothing to do with the film. Because this was a well-executed, well-made film. Like, we've heaped better praise on some fucking stinkers. This is a well-made film, all right? You can nitpick at the music choices, which I thought were dope.
Oh, they were great.
I loved hearing Hole.
But the music choices fit with the, you know, now we're starting to notice how the nostalgia is. It's still steeped in the 80s for the most part for a lot of nostalgic stuff, but we're climbing into the 90s now.
It's early 90s. I think we give stuff to the 80s too much wholeheartedly. But for those of us who are a little bit older, I mean, that is very firmly the 90s.
Wait till they start making shit nostalgic for the early 2000s. I don't know how that's going to go, but I mean, it's going to come at some point.
Look, I maintain that I went to high school at the single worst time to be an adolescent boy in high school, because girl fashion was modeled after fucking TLC and everything was baggy as fuck. This shit was terrible. They were taking boys' double XL shirts and putting them on. The fuck am I supposed to see here? This is wild.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, that was a tangent. My bad, y'all. But to bring it back.
Don't do that. Don't apologize. This is what they came to see. What we do.
You bought your tickets.
Exactly.
You knew what you were getting.
Now to go into the stat world here.
Please do.
The movie has literally been out for 1 week. If you include midnight showings, when it's midnight, so hello.
Yeah.
1 week.
2 weeks now. This is the second weekend.
Second weekend?
Yeah, tomorrow will be the second weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow's 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, $813 million.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, that's Marvel. Wonder, I mean, you also have
Wonder to... Wonder Woman only made 822 total.
Yeah.
But Wonder Woman, now, hold on a minute. Now, let's be fair here. Wonder Woman was also... coming after two duds at the DC universe.
Not duds.
Critically.
Not duds. Don't say duds. Those motherfuckers were dead on arrival, guys.
All right. If you want to go that route,
they were
Spider-Man only did 825.
Total, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Homecoming only did 825 total, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're also you're watching a movie here. Now, I understand what you're saying, but I also want to, I'm playing devil's advocate to a degree here.
Don't.
But this is a movie that is set, no, but let's be fair. Why? This is a movie that's set between two Avengers films, and you kind of have to, if you really want the complete story, you got to watch it.
No, you didn't.
But this
is any
other than the 3 minutes.
But the casual fan does not know that until they go see the movie.
But it doesn't even, like, if you watch any of the marketing, it does not reference Infinity War.
The casual fan doesn't, but my point being, you know from the end of Infinity War that this movie is next in line based on that little post-credits scene. I know it's just at the very end of the movie, but, you know, we were always going to go see it. Comic fans are always going to go see it. You know, we know who Carol Danvers is. We know who Captain Marvel
is. This shit is much more akin to Black Panther than it is anything else, where you have a really good self-contained story that moves the overall storyline just a little bit by an after-credit scene. That's
okay. I agree, but I mean, I'm not ready to say it's more. I mean, Black Panther to me is a great flick.
I'm not talking about quality of flick. I'm talking about the type of flick that it is, where it is a self-contained story about a particular character that plays within this universe that only gets moved just a little bit by the mid-credit scene, where we saw the White Wolf, so we got ready for Infinity War. We saw 90 seconds with the left on Earth Avengers, and then what happens here? All right, cool, done. This is the same sort of thing here, but What we also saw was the birth of a female hero that little girls can be excited about, that little boys can fuck around and be excited about, because the second Captain Marvel film is going to have Ms. Marvel with Kamala Khan in it, which I think is even doper.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay, so
I'm just saying that, I mean, 2 weeks, it's up to 800 million, man. I mean, some of that's attributed to it's set, it's falling between two movies that are going to be making $2+ billion, the two biggest movies that this studio has ever put out. I mean, this thing has surpassed Star Wars in my mind. I mean, this hype train for Marvel movies now is by and far ahead of Star Wars, especially since Star Wars kind of has slipped to a degree with, well, not to a degree. I mean, Solo, you know, I didn't mind Solo, but a lot of people didn't care for that and it didn't make a lot of money. And Last Jedi now is still getting heaps of hate.
Solo was fun.
Yeah, Solo was fun. I agree. But, you know, to a degree, all I'm saying is, you know, it's a good flick, but also it's being sandwiched between two movies that everybody on the planet's going to go see.
But that's certainly helpful from the film, though.
No. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's taken away from the film. That's not what I'm saying.
I get Scott's point in regards to, you know, it's buoyed between these two behemoths, and it's a key, it's a linchpin between the two. I get that. But the point that I also want to make is that beyond, you know, well, fuck it, I'm just going to keep it real. Fuck all that. Like, this is a realistic and well-rounded female superhero. I can't see her titties. I can't see her ass. I can't see her legs. All I can see are her hands and her face. She is not sexualized at all. In fact,
speak on it.
Fuck it. She's probably less sexualized than the male superhero. You know, quite honest. When you look at the fucking costumes, like Captain America's ridiculously oversized biceps, I can see every fucking striation, curve, corner, whatever. Like, she is dressed very conservatively. It's not about her looks. It's about her mentality. It's about her resourcefulness, her stick-to-itiveness. You know that one scene where the Skrull is kind of fucking with her mind and showing her all the times that she failed? And then the following scene where you see the second part of that where she gets up every fucking time? Man, that shit was inspiring. Anybody would be inspired by that. Girl, boy, he, she, they, Z, whatever the fucking pronoun is, like, that shit was fucking inspiring.
I think that is the overlooked piece of Marvel films right now.
To that point, before you jump in here, I didn't really think of it that way, honestly, because I was just watching the movie for, you know, to get the story. I, you know, as a comic reader, I didn't know much about Captain Marvel. You know, my Captain Marvel knowledge is tied to, or Carol Danvers' knowledge is tied to X-Men shit. Right. I know about her through Rogue. Yep. You know what I mean? I know about her more through that. So I was learning about the character and, you know, I wasn't really looking at it as a sexual character or, but now that you say that, you're absolutely right. They didn't highlight any of that. And I appreciate that. Like, yeah.
I'm sure Elizabeth Olsen, like, yo, I'm gonna need a hoodie next time I come out here as Scarlet Witch.
To that point, it is funny that you mentioned that. I mean, it's one of those, at least put her in something that more resembles the comic book.
Look, I mean, Wanda is not a sexualized character, but they made her such
in these films.
And she's been pissed off about that for a while, and she has every right to be. But the next piece about all of this is that, you know, to Tone's point, this is like falls in line with Nike's Serena Williams commercial. You know what I mean? Like, these are inspiring stories. Absolutely. These are, you know, women have strength too. You know, they talked about kind of the systemic, you know, misogynistic realm in which these two pilots, Maria and Carol, were succeeding in. They talked about, you know, why they call it the cockpit. And, you know, they weren't allowed to fly actual missions, so they had to take experimental missions with the Doctor. It was the only way they were going to get to fly. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't take a huge, long diatribe and explain the shit to you, but they told They told you everything you need to know. And you know, that's the deeper part of these movies. I think Marvel has found out really quickly after some of the backlash, these hyper successful films, they were like, wait a minute, y'all still got issues? Yeah, because y'all motherfuckers is trying to treat women as if they're not worth shit. You know, between Wanda and, you know, Black Widow, they don't get a whole bunch of shit to do. Wanda's in love with a goddamn robot. And, right. You know, Black Widow's in love with the Hulk. Right.
A like, monster.
Yeah, that should talk about emotionally unavailable.
This motherfucker right here. Don't get your Gail King ass up out of here.
Got him. But.
Now, Robert. Sit down, Robert.
Oh, no, shit.
Hey, look, I almost fell off the couch. Oh, shit. Ooh, wow.
Ugh. Oh, man. But to that point, you know, again, we have a wonderfully well-rounded, not nice, not kind, not, you know, like we have that scene, you know, the street harassment scene. Honey, can I get a smile? Yep. And she's like, fuck no, you can't get a smile. And I'm stealing your bike. What?
Yeah, right?
Like there's some real shit here.
I feel like they attacked a lot of the toxic masculinity in our culture. Absolutely. And I think that's probably why dudes have such a problem with this film.
Well, and I will also say, you know, the parallels. Like when you look at the idea of the Skrull and you know, having read the Secret Wars and the Skrull invasion and all that other shit, the way they sort of flipped it on its head, being like, oh, these are not the bad guys. The Kree are just good looking assholes. That's all they are. They look like us. They're powerful. They're strong. You assume they're the good guys, but that is not what's happening. Like, that was some real shit. Like,
if you want to go really deep.
They're not terrorists.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, how far you want to go with this? Because
we can go all the way. Don't get me started on the fact that Ben Mendelsohn, check the surname, is talking about a group of people who are refugees. Trying to get home.
Yep, trying to have a homeland.
By what looks like a very good-looking, fair-skinned, fair-haired man named Jude Law. I mean, come on, we can go there.
Let's go even further. I feel like the Skrulls were a mixture between the Jewish folks and black folks. Absolutely. They even looked underneath the sheet to check his genitalia. And both of them said, ooh, look at that. If you know, when there's a sexual fetishism of black men in this country, and the aspect of getting the double-sided coin of attraction
and repulsion,
I'm
simultaneously attracted and repulsed by you.
And they put that in the film. Like, I don't know if they meant to go that deep, if that was just something that we caught, who knows? But you know, this is a part of filmmaking that has to be taught about. There are aspects where they're a little deeper than what you're experiencing at a time. You come back to it, you say, oh, these motherfuckers is really on some shit. The Skrulls,
I mean, the Skrulls speak for multiple demographics, man. This is the reason why I think Marvel in general works a little better than DC. The quote-unquote wokeness, the woke benefides of Marvel come from the fact that they really entered their heyday during this. Right. And you know the idea that the X-Men was really an exploration of the idea of nonviolence versus violence.
Absolutely.
And the parallel between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King.
Yeah, Stan Lee has been on record about that.
Yeah, that's been done. That's been done to death. But yeah, what Stan I'm Lee saying
been
is,
for the people, been for the people.
This is the house that Stan built. You know what I'm saying? And his, no disrespect to Jack Kirby. No disrespect to Jack Kirby at all, but Marvel, this is the house that Stan built. And his you know, his ideas, his mentalities, you know, that DNA is all over Marvel, and it shows. So these kind of storylines, these kinds of ideas are deeply woven within the fabric of Marvel. And so I don't think this was a mistake at all. Not at all.
Did anybody else get a pinch misty at the very beginning of the movie?
Oh, when the Marvel role came up and they were all Stan, homie. Oh, dude,
brother.
Somebody spoiled that for me. I knew it was coming, and I was like, oh, shit.
I did not know it was coming. And I don't know who was cutting up onions.
Yeah, fresh onions.
I don't know what was going on. Somebody was doing, you know, there was some pollen going on. I don't know what happened. But
it was a spring day in the theater.
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, what's funny to see Stan Lee, you know, in his quintessential role on that bus.
Yeah, going through his Mallrats reading.
Right, and then after that, like, especially after that role in the beginning, and to realize, like, oh, this is the last time I'm going to do this.
That may not be true. He filmed, like, four of them before he passed away. So I think there's one in Endgame, and I think there's one in Spider-Man Far From Home.
We still
have a couple more. But the bigger thing to me is, like, shout out to Kevin Smith, who has Stan Lee on a cameo before it was fashionable and cool to have Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be reading the Mallrats script, for that shit to come full circle, dope, man.
Yeah.
I was talking to
Kevin lost his shit when he saw it.
He did. He cried. You know, that shit, like, I can't imagine what that means to a real true fan of comic books to, you know, feel this love from what is arguably the largest cinematic universe on the planet at this point.
Absolutely.
To point to some of your seminal work as a really big, for like the seminal guy, like, that's a huge compliment, man.
It really is.
Shout out to Kevin Smith for that. But I was talking to Jay Adson, who's longtime, you know, friend of the show, fan, cinephile, really, really bright dude. If you ever get an opportunity to kind of interact with this cat, he sees and views films in a way that most people simply just don't. I love having conversations with him because he takes the extra two or three steps to take a look at films. And he explained to me his love and respect for Kevin Smith. And I was super, super impressed because the same way that, and he didn't mean to do this, I added this shit on myself. I added some extra seasoning to this. But it's okay. the same way Marvel gave a shout out to Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith brought him towards podcasts, which then brought him to us. And now we're talking about this here. It was like a full circle moment for all of us. I was like, hey, now, look at that synergy. Look at that. But, you know, just listening to the impact that Kevin Smith had on him as, you know, a fan of cinema and, you know, writing and movies and all these sorts of things. And he talks about the later part of his films. He's not a Mallrats dude. He's talking about Yoga Hosers. He's talking about Tusk. You know what I mean? Like, these are films that got critically panned, but he absolutely loves the audaciousness and the fact that someone's willing to do this. This is how you know somebody's really paying attention to films. So, take all that in for what it's worth. And then apply that to the fact that you got Stan Lee on a bus looking over a fucking Mallrats script. That's huge, man. Not bad.
No. To that point, though, I mean, even, you know, Tusk wasn't a great movie, but Kevin Smith is a passionate filmmaker. And his passion, the passion comes through his movies, whether you like them or not. And that we've talked about, you know, somebody like Eli Roth is kind of the same way. A lot of his movies really aren't that great, but his passion bleeds through, into his films for better or worse. So it's an attractive quality in a filmmaker, even if they're not making, you know, movies that you have to love or, you know what I mean? So I appreciate that part of it too. So That scene was one of those. It was a nice touch in the film. It's always great to see Stan Lee pop up because you know you're going to get it. And then when you get it, and when we don't have it anymore, that's when it'll be like, that's when the tears will come. Like, man, damn, you know, I miss seeing Stan in this movie.
Yeah, when you go a whole film without Stan, that's going to be tough, man.
That is going to be hard. That is going to be hard. Straight up.
Yeah, and I think they have confirmed that he is the same character in every film. And he's basically one of the Watchers.
He is, well, yes, they have
confirmed. Which is pretty cool. In fact, they were even going to go, you remember in that scene, what was it, Guardians 2, when he was talking to the Watchers.
Yep.
They were apparently one of the throwaway, they filmed one where he said something like, oh, I was a DJ in this strip club, which is actually from Deadpool.
Correct.
They were going to actually have that in the movie, and they cut it. But, I thought that would have been a nice little touch, too.
I thought it should have been awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl, how do you feel about this shit, man? Like,
yeah. Especially now that they own it.
Right.
Right.
All right, hold on.
And they've gone as far to essentially say they're going to continue doing Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool shit.
Yeah, they should.
Absolutely they should. I agree.
But let's take a little time out here for this merger to think about the fact that you now have one less option and opportunity for unique, dynamic scripts and films to be made. You know, one of the things that comes along with, you know, this merger, everybody just feels like, great, we'll finally get good Fantastic Four and good X-Men films. But the reality is there are thousands of jobs that will go away, and there are, you know, a lot less avenues for people to get their dreams fulfilled now. You have to go through fucking Disney? Come on, man. Like, we can't applaud this shit. We're all tired of seeing shitty X-Men films, granted. But there are a lot. But there are.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that. They're not as bad as everybody's been saying.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Scott.
Keep your mouth shut.
Scott. They are. That's like.
That's fine.
You know what you sound like right now? You sound like the parent who's telling their son that he's fucking good when he fucking sucks. You score 4 points, you're a fucking PTP-er.
Eat their own, man.
Primetime player.
Eat their own.
You sound like goddamn Jimmy V.
Eat their own.
It's not good.
Hey, wait, do you guys like Deadpool too? Do you like Logan? Those are X-Men films. Those are X-Men films.
No, get the fuck out of here. You're not claiming that.
Get the fuck out of here.
You're not claiming that. Fuck out of here. You're not going to put that up there with Last Stand, fucker. No.
Yeah, but Last Stand is one. Wait, hold on a minute. Now, hold on a minute. Last Stand is a piece of shit. I'm not defending Last Stand.
Okay.
I'm not defending the Last Stand, but I'm not lumping all of them into the Last Stand.
Yeah, but Last Stand and X-Men Origins Wolverine, get the fuck out of here.
But that's two. That's two of them. That's two.
I thought Apocalypse was a hot steaming pile of doo-doo.
It was a hot steaming pile of shit. And Scott's going to sit here and defend that shit. That's a bad movie, cuz.
You know what, though?
And I like the ones before. You know what, though?
Scott, I can't give you Deadpool. I cannot do that. But I think we've got to give him Logan. I mean, if Logan's not an X-Men film, what the fuck is it? Honestly.
Well, Logan's a great film, though, but it has almost nothing to do with X-Men.
No, but it's still an X-Men film. I mean, fuck, it's got...
Sure, fine, fuck it. I don't care. It has nothing to do with that. This is not about Logan. It's not about, you know, like, even as far as going to giving you First Class. This is about the shitty films. This is about having outstanding fucking talent. Dudes who, and women who can act their ass off and fucking make them do bullshit. The fact that you decided to make Jennifer Lawrence one of the seminal pieces of the X-Men universe.
No, hold on a minute. I'm not defending that, okay? I can nitpick these. I can nitpick MCU films, too, if we really want to get down to that.
You'd be fucking wrong.
Right? But making Mystique important, making Mystique important X-Men is one of the worst things they've done.
Do we need to call a mediator into this motherfucker?
I'm not going to disagree with you. Scott, I mean, you're trying to put words in my mouth here. I'm not defending everything they've done, but you know, people have gone back and retroactively hated Days of Future Past. That movie was not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination.
I want you to go back and watch that.
I have. We've had this conversation. I have. It is not a bad movie.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's aged very well, though.
I see. I disagree. I disagree. I like that movie quite a bit. It's one of my favorite comic book movies.
I like it as well. I haven't rewatched it in a while, but
I like First Class.
Nothing in there. Oh yeah, First Class. First Class is a great movie.
I like First Class a lot. I don't. Yep. I think First Class is better than.
I'll tell you what movie has not aged well, and I'll be honest here, and it's not a bad movie, but it has not aged well, is the very first X-Men movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's aged like fucking.
Oh, well, no, it was like honestly.
On the sidewalk on a summer day. Shit's bad.
We were just excited to see the X-Men in the.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct. Correct.
Like the casting was bad. The dialogue was wooden. Like, it was not a good fucking.
I don't think the movie is bad, but it's definitely not what it was when we first saw it. But I'm in complete agreement with you there. That is aged really poorly. Whereas X-Men 2 is one of my favorite comic book movies still to this day.
X-2 is one of the best comic book movies of all time. Particularly if you adjust for inflation, where if you figured they weren't making good comic book films because they were attempting to make regular films with comic book characters at that point, which is why all those films fucking sucked.
Yeah. Just
make a comic book film. That's the fucking problem. I don't know how we got here. Seriously.
Because we're talking the merger.
The merger.
Yeah,
I still say fucking merger. We're supposed to have people in place to stop mergers like this. If this isn't a goddamn monopoly, I don't know.
Maybe 50 years ago, like ain't nobody enforcing antitrust law these days.
Clearly, because Marriott has soaked up all of the goddamn hotels, and Disney has soaked up all the fucking movie theaters. So guess what? Fuck it, American people, give them your money. Slashes, let's go.
Oh shit! God damn it! Fucking. Out of 10, okay, look, real talk, it was visually was good, story was good, characters were good, but, you know, if we talk, this is a movie that's going to suffer by comparison because the Marvel movies have been.
Hey, no.
Yes, it is.
Stop.
It is.
This is something Jay Atson and I talked about as well. Stop comparing these movies to each other. They're not made to be better than the other film. They're here to tell a story.
If we're rating the movie, you have to consider your rating
these
other movies.
You're looking at the film for a film.
Okay. I disagree. I agree with what you're saying, but my score is going to reflect where it falls in the pantheon of the MCU.
Yeah, I'm on that side. Like I
understand that. I do not agree with that because I think, particularly with 21 films, we are getting to the point now where we have to rank everything, and that shit is fucking wrong.
I know what you're saying. I absolutely know what you're saying, but I mean, if you're gonna give the score, here I'll talk about it when I'm going. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Tony. Go for your slashes.
Go ahead, Kanye. I'll be your Taylor Swift.
No. Go. I keep interrupting. Sorry. Go.
Okay. So make a long story short. Too late. I'm gonna give it a. I'm gonna give it an 8. No. I'm gonna. Fuck.
First one's right.
When I think about the cultural import of this film, I think I gotta give it a. Oh, fuck! I don't. God damn it! I want to give it a 9. It's not
good enough.
It is too. I'm gonna give it 8.5.
Yeah,
8.5.
I think that's fair.
8.5.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna close out with Scott. Carl, what are you? What are your thoughts?
I was actually gonna say 8.75 before Tony said anything, and I want to stick with that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah,
I'm not changing my mind. Maybe if she had a little bit more in the back, it'd hit 9.
Oh, 8.75.
Look, if y'all could see my eyes, we spent 30 minutes on the feminist platform, and this decimated the whole platform in one 3-second comment.
But can we just celebrate the passing of the torch? Because I am no longer problematic, Bay. That is
clearly. Yeah, seriously, like that right there.
The king is dead. Long live the king.
Long live the king. He can believe, he can fly. Whatever. So, I'm going to go 8.5 too. I really enjoyed this fucking film, man. I love the turning Skrulls on their heads. I love the performance of Ben Mendelsohn. I love the buddy cop, the humor. I loved Brie Larson. I've been watching this young lady since she was in United States of Terror. I watched her as like, oh, she's a really good actress to, what was that, Short Term 21, to Room.
She's good in Room, yep.
I mean, she is a really, really good actress. And she carried this shit. Yeah, yeah, Kong Skull Island, which they, you know, which is now turning into a whole other thing. But, you know, you have an entire fucking universe which she can lead. And I believe she can do this shit. I'm here for it. I'm with it.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Go ahead. Yeah, we will. I have a comment on that as well.
Yeah, which is fine. This is fine.
I mean, that's why we do this. We're discussing.
Yeah, you're last.
So, I mean, my score is not going to be much different than yours, because I think that in the grand scheme of things, the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole has been pretty damn good. I mean, I don't think they've had a lot of duds. The only dud I would say outright, in my opinion, was Iron Man 3.
Absolutely. They have a whole fucking Iron Man movie, motherfucker, don't want to be
correct. And there are disappointing movies. Age of Ultron is disappointing. Iron Man 2 is disappointing. Thor 2 is disappointing.
Yep.
Doctor Strange to me has not. I wasn't a big fan of Doctor Strange.
Look, Thor 2 wasn't the greatest flick, but it's only disappointing when you compare it to Ragnarok.
Correct.
That's not true. No. Listen. You know, for Thor 2, Thor 2 is a bridge between Thor 1 and Ragnarok. Right, it's a much better film than Thor 1.
Absolutely.
Kenneth Branagh made a Shakespearean.
I prefer Thor, the first Thor, to Thor Dark World, but that's splitting hairs. They're both on the weaker end of the.
They're not good. They took a character that was so steeped in mythology that they forgot to make that shit relatable. So it's not
correct.
Fun.
That's correct.
It's not fun.
Well, the thing that makes it watchable is Tom Hiddleston.
How lucky were they in the casting that they managed to cast?
Exactly correct. Yep. Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston. Let us not forget Loki. Right. I mean, Loki makes those movies.
Tom Hiddleston makes those films.
Yeah.
Because up until Ragnarok, you know, Chris Hemsworth is not fun. They didn't allow him to use his comedic chops.
That's the point that I'm making, though. They cast Chris Hemsworth on the basis of, okay, he's going to make Becky and Susan from Des Moines, Iowa, get wet in the pants in the theater. And they got that right, but they just happened to stumble upon.
Problematic Bay is back, ladies and gentlemen. This motherfucker.
Yeah, shut up. That wasn't problematic. That was anyway,
when this shit
I'm just saying.
Listen to this and be like, yeah, this shit was problematic as fuck. Continue.
The point is, they stumbled upon the fact that this dude is a good fucking actor and does have comedic chops, and he's fucking amazing in fucking Ragnarok, and he's been amazing in Thor ever since. Like, they got lucky as shit in this fucking casting.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
So anyway, I'm gonna go back. My knee-jerk reaction after I saw the movie was an 8. I stewed on it for a while afterwards and kind of reduced it a little bit. But I'll be honest with you. I think a fair rating for Captain Marvel is an 8. I mean, it's a good, not great flick. I enjoyed it. I'll watch it again. I think it'll age better because honestly, I was surprised that I enjoyed it more than, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I remember watching Wonder Woman. To me, the best part of Wonder Woman was I was excited. The best part of Batman v Superman was seeing Wonder Woman on screen.
Absolutely.
I was shocked that scene still to this day is a great scene to watch. The music kicks in, you see her pop up and you go, I remember thinking like, man, I didn't know I was as big a Wonder Woman fan as all this, but she's fucking dope.
Yeah, and particularly when that fucking, that big ass mandolin or whatever fuck she's playing. When that shit comes on and you hear that goddamn sound,
right.
I just I feel like we got to do a reality check here because y'all just told me that the screen, the fucking sky is polka dot. Like, Wonder Woman's dope, and you are not going to find a bigger Wonder Woman fan than me. But the best part of Batman v Superman is when Bruce Wayne is running through the fucking streets, hopping over cars and sliding around fire hydrants and shit, being the best fucking Batman that we've ever seen on screen for about 5 minutes. That was the best part of Batman v Superman.
No. The best part of Batman v Superman is when these motherfuckers fighting Doomsday and they think that shit is over, and all of a sudden you hear this fucking sound and you can't even tell what's like what piece of instrument it is, and she just shows the fuck up. That's the best part.
That is pretty dope.
Because you have a wooden ass Superman, you have an old ass Batman who can't really get his shit off. He looks like Dirk running up and down the fucking court. He looks like Larry Bird in the late
90s. Y'all doing Ben Affleck so wrong. He ain't that old. Shit, he not that much older than us. God damn.
But it's not Ben Affleck. It's the character. The characterization was an older Batman
who
couldn't do as much, right?
This is true.
He looked like fucking Larry Bird. He had to be, like, when he laid in the fucking aisle of the plane in between games. When he had to get traction when he was in Barcelona in 92. This motherfucker is a shell of himself. But meanwhile, Wonder Woman is fucking fresh.
I think they missed an opportunity. They missed an opportunity because that would have been a wonderful place to parlay that into Batman Beyond. Like, they really could have did that. I think, honestly, if DC really wants to compete with Marvel, they need to go into the Beyond universe.
The multiverse is the best way to go for them.
Those are Static as a grown-ass man is an interesting fucking story.
But they're going to use Static just because he's black. But, Carl, hop in here, man.
No.
That's great. That's awesome. Damn. Nah, this is like, man, we're talking Marvel so much. You go like, hey, jump in on the DC talk. You're like, nah, I'm good.
Devil movie. We need a Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie. We definitely need a Blue Beetle movie.
More interesting characters. Absolutely.
We need a Zatanna movie.
Is that the magician, right?
I'll tell you what. You know what would be dope is if they did a Guardians of the Galaxy like Justice League International movie, like Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, Fire, Ice, Guy Gardner.
I think that would be the tone of
Guardians of the Galaxy. That would be perfect.
Have you guys ever read Justice League Dark? Like, it is so good and so creepy and so
with Zatanna and Swamp Thing, Constantine, Swamp Thing.
Yes, if they do that shit, that's
Etrigan, baby, Etrigan.
Oh shit! There you go.
My first tattoo.
He's official. That's pretty dope, man.
Captain Marvel is Captain Marvel was a good flick. I enjoyed it. If I was nitpicking, and I mentioned this to Damon after I saw it, the one thing, and I know this is how she's portrayed in the comics.
Right now, Captain Marvel is an asshole.
Yes.
So keep in mind, used her as a turn for Iron Man after they made him out to be the villain in the original Civil War, when they tried to popularize Captain America. They took Steve Rogers, who was always incredibly rigid, incredibly wooden, and very much for whatever the system said was right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Civil War turned that on its ear, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, Steve Rogers is anti-establishment? Steve Rogers is a motherfucking Black Panther? He's underground? That's what they did with Civil War. They made Iron Man the narc. They made Iron Man for the system. They made Iron Man a fucking villain.
Yep.
They then took the other side, where now Iron Man is Steve Rogers, and Carol Danvers is for the system. She's the cosmic police.
And Civil War worked for Marvel. Civil War II is just not a very great. It's not a great story.
It's a retread.
That's why.
Yeah, they killed War Machine, whom Carol was dating.
Oh shit.
See, I ain't well, but that, that scene of him dying though was kind of tight with Thanos essentially punching him out of existence. Yeah, I mean Thanos fucking disintegrated him.
Yeah, he punched a hole in his motherfucker.
Yeah.
Here's why Civil War One worked. We got to remember the timeliness of it. Right in the middle of the Iraq War, where we all knew we were fighting an unjust war for mercantile reasons. And so what we do is we
speak on a veteran.
What we do is we put the war contractor, Tony Stark, up against the war hero of the greatest generation.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the war to end all wars, right?
Yeah, so what we have is capitalism versus true patriotism.
Yeah.
It was a war of ideas born out through this comic book. That's
an awesome point.
It was timely and it was true. Now,
it's an incredible story.
Civil War II was just a retread.
Yeah, like, it's a cash grab.
Yeah, it's not going to have the same resonance. It's just not.
Civil War I was spanned over, what, like 137, 140 comics?
Oh, yeah.
And over World like War 11 to 13 properties?
Absolutely.
And the side stories were cool, too. The Wolverine story, the Spider-Man story, the Fantastic Four story, they were all interesting.
The iconic moments. They finally get Peter Parker to unmask. Like, anybody that's that Spider-Man cool. Know what he went through.
They cloning Thor. They cloned Thor. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
the new power set they gave Spider-Man that they then
the Iron Spider.
The shit was fucking amazing. Like they did some real good work in that thing. I really would like to see them, go revisit that, but that's not gonna happen.
You know, I think one of the bigger pieces of all of this is that Carol Danvers is also one of Jessica Jones' favorite and closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
So Carol Danvers gets into the street level aspect of Marvel more so than I think a lot of people would like because of her connection to Jessica. But Carol is by far one of the most singularly powerful motherfuckers within the universe. And,
I'm waiting for?
If you look at the end of the film, you watch her come into her power and enjoy blowing motherfuckers up with ease. That shit made me feel so good. I was in the theater cackling with laughter. There were seven of us in the theater. I was dying laughing.
That scene where Jude Law is trying to manipulate her into a hand-on-hand battle, and she's just like, nah, bro. I got nothing to prove to you.
Get the fuck out of here. Shut up. Catch these motherfuckers. Fuck out of here.
What I really want to see, though, I want to see a buddy film. I want to see Jennifer Walters and Jessica Jones. That's a buddy flick I will fucking watch.
Who the fuck is Jennifer Walters?
She-Hulk.
Oh, you shut your mouth, sir. Don't you ever come out your mouth and disrespect She-Hulk like that.
Look at all my teeth.
Wow.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
We haven't talked about her. You can't just be talking about some She-Hulk out here. You got to introduce some She-Hulk.
Well,
I would also like to see the introduction of Spider-Woman.
I would like to see Jessica Drew. I'd like to see that as well.
We won't get Spider-Woman in the MCU, I don't think.
So here's the thing, though. At some point, because
Sony's going to try and keep as much as they can.
Sony can't keep her.
She is not tied into Peter Parker.
No. I don't disagree. But they've been the comic books have recently been pushing Jessica Drew as a Spider-Man character recently.
Well, like, she's part of the Spider-Gang.
She is a Spider-Man character, but she's not.
I agree with what you guys are saying, but they've been pushing her more as a Spider-Man character recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, they push every Spider everything.
I know.
The superior Spider-Man, I absolutely
she was created by Hydra. She's not a villain.
Hey, dude, you don't need to cover that shit up. Motherfuckers need to know this information. You got the old ass information. Say it. Man, my bad, Carl. I've been drinking, man. Don't take this shit.
That's all that matters. I just need to plant seed.
Look, straight up and down, we're in a place now where they have a ton of characters. They've talked about the idea that because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse basically broke every projection that they had.
Right. Slashes on that right now from everybody. No 11. Blah, blah, blah.
11, motherfucker. No, yeah, no commentary needed.
9.5 for me.
I go, honestly, I don't know that I've ever done well. I have, but that's a 10.
Yeah. The visual effects, the story.
Get out the room and approve, folks.
Yeah, that motherfucker stamped and approved. Get the fuck out. Look, I do not tell people to spend money very often. Go out and buy Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for you and your children tomorrow.
Oh, yes, definitely do that. And when your homeboy rolls up in the when your homeboy rolls up in the barbershop with that bootleg DVD, you gotta punch him in his mouth.
Yeah, no, no, you gotta get the real shit, approved shit. Get the real shit.
Hey, hold on.
Need to make money.
Go ahead, Scott.
Oh no, no, no. I mean, nobody's gonna be able to see this, but I was just gonna show you. I've been traveling for work up in Detroit. I actually went out of my way. I went to go run to Target Tuesday.
Enable your fucking camera. We could see.
That's what I'm trying to, man. Shit, man. I'm not down with the shit.
I got Zoom specifically for this reason. And this motherfucker.
Oh my god. I don't know how to work this.
Hey, folks, I see a finger. I think that's the fuck you finger. I'm not sure.
No. I'm trying to. How do you flip it? How do I flip the?
You just change your input camera to front or back. Oh, there. I bought.
I went out and got a copy of it the day it dropped, dude. It's a great flick. I love this.
I bought the 4K DVD with the Blu-ray in it.
There you can see. I was going to do that, but I did the Target because you get a little book with it in the back.
I want to get the shit that stays ahead so, like, you can play it for a couple years. You know what I mean?
Well, I haven't made the jump to 4K. I think I only have a couple 4K flicks. I think Infinity War and
do you have a 4K television?
I don't. That's why I'm not in 4K. So
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? My bad, dog.
Yes, you did.
My bad, dog. But check it out. So I know that a lot of folks
– the first segment of this show.
Look, this is a whole fucking show. Don't worry about it. Look, I know a lot of people do not believe that Carol can carry the next phase of the MCU. But here's something that needs to be kept into perspective. How much has fucking Chris Evans carried the first phase?
Are you fucking kidding me? Chris Evans is the best part of the Avengers, dude.
No, motherfucker. He has less lines than most everybody else.
Of the major four or five characters in Infinity War, so I'm talking Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Thanos are the major characters in Infinity War. He had less lines than a lot of other characters did. So in Infinity War, I agree with what you're saying.
Take Captain America, Winter Soldier out. When you look at the films, even Ultron and some of the other films, Captain America does not have the most lines.
Okay, but who's your favorite Avenger, though?
That's a good question.
At this point?
Of the original six. OG six.
Who's your favorite Avenger?
Probably Thor.
He was a goddamn lie. We just got done talking about how wooden that motherfucker was, and now you're
absolutely right. But I liked Ragnarok. Ragnarok is more fun than the other films.
Ragnarok was Winter, phase two, though,
listen,
homie.
Listen. Winter Soldier is probably the best MCU film to date.
Yep, it is.
Winter Soldier was one of the best films of that year. It's a good fucking flick.
Without question. But Ragnarok was the most fun.
I mean, that's fair.
I'll say it. I think Ragnarok helped fund Deadpool.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't try as hard as Deadpool. Deadpool is like really going in on everything to make you laugh. Ragnarok is Taika Waititi.
Easy going.
Has everything doing really, really well, man. That shit is more fun.
I would not have agreed with you, but I have recently rewatched Ragnarok, and I think I do agree. It is more fun.
It's more fun.
Ragnarok is very good. That being said, me, and I think a lot of folks would say that their favorite Avenger is Captain America.
It's Captain America. Like, I agree with that.
And for that reason, I think you're going about she's.
And you know who my least favorite is? Do you know who my least favorite is? Is Iron Man.
Sure. That's fine. I don't give a shit about that. But
no, my least favorite is fucking Clint. I can't stand
Hawkeye.
I mean, he doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, no, he's just he's wasted space. Like, I don't understand
what. To be very fair, you know, when you're talking about, you know, out of world fucking villains,
and we got a motherfucker running around with a bow.
Hawkeye and Black Widow probably need to be in somebody's car looking for cover. Like,
they need to be support staff. They don't need to be in the thick of it with the rest of us. Like, no, that's not gonna happen. But I would say
I think Hawkeye is really good. But
now, see, I've heard that many times that
they didn't cross over into the movie world with him well, because basically in the comic book
Hawkeye is awesome.
Comic book Hawkeye basically has a quiver that's the equivalent of Iron Man's fucking suit.
Yeah.
He can pull arrows out that do anything and everything. He's not really doing that in this. He's just an archer.
And Ultimate Hawkeye is even cooler.
I believe that, but you know, but we're dealing with the film adaptation right now.
Yeah, I know. To be fair, he doesn't get a lot to work with.
He doesn't. But I believe that's honestly a limitation. I believe that's a limitation of the actors you're dealing with. Jeremy Renner is not the greatest actor in the world. Sorry, and I just don't think that there's so much space they can go. But that being said, I think that's kind of the separation anxiety that I'm feeling, knowing that the Evans run of this is over, is because Miss Danvers has very large shoes to fill. And it's not that she is not capable. Her story is compelling. Brie Larson did a hell of a job. I found her believable and again, not nice, but also warm in a way that, you know, an asshole white girl would be. I found her very believable, but
I think you should think of Captain Marvel more so in the moving forward in the vein of the character from the mid-credits scene more so than what you saw in the movie.
I mean, that's a fair point too. We could see an evolution of her akin to what we saw with Fury, and that could be very interesting to watch.
Absolutely.
Well, I would be
even the Captain Marvel that showed up is one who is more seasoned, been through a whole bunch of shit. Like, she don't have the light curls no more. Like, Carol Tyre, cuz she, you know,
yeah, no,
she,
no, no, I
she's been fighting I Galactic be, Wars all over the universe.
I would be interested to see that, and I'm at a place where I'm willing to give her that space, because before I wasn't, you know, we talked about this, I was not looking forward to it at all. I was going to see it for the people. And this really grew on me. So I'm willing to give her that space. But she got some big shoes to fill.
She does. And so to spit, I'm going to bounce off this. You know, the next, it's kind of hard to predict without, you know, Endgame's going to be, I mean, it's setting the tone for, you know, who and what we're going to get Avengers-wise after this next group. I mean, we're all under the assumption that somehow they're going to get rid of Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and maybe move on to, and not necessarily kill, but just move on from them into this new group, maybe Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Doctor Strange. And, you know, that's exciting, but I also think it's going to be a challenge for Marvel because, I mean, at this point, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, and likewise, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Chris Hemsworth are, I mean, they're, dare I say, legends in a lot of the moviegoers' eyes now. I mean, these guys are...
But you got to remember what's coming next. Real. You got Guardians of the Galaxy 3. You have the Eternals coming up.
Wait, hey, by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. How about that James Gunn?
About face. Yeah. We knew that was happening.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen. We talked about it.
We knew that was going to happen. We knew that. We said it. They were just waiting for the right time to bring them back. And that's fine. Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, the more I think about it, the less I think they're going to kill these characters as opposed to maybe just write them out so they could possibly come back at a later time. In Endgame, I mean. Like, maybe not kill Tony Stark, maybe put him in a different time so that they could go get him if they need him.
I think he's going to become the new Nick Fury.
I think him becoming the new Nick Fury is the perfect move for Tony Stark, and I would love to see that. That way, Downey Jr. could come in for a couple hours of filming, pop in for a scene here and there, like Nick Fury did in the Phase 1 movies, and then bring Iron Man back if they need to in an Avengers movie.
Well, the biggest thing was he said he hated being in a suit. He doesn't want to do CGI, don't want to do this anymore, which is why Iron Man 3 was a whole movie about him being Iron Man. So they've worked around him not being in a suit as much as they possibly could.
Yeah, but once they saw how Iron Man, I mean, come on.
Yeah, so the idea is move him to Fury, right? He's injured. You know, he needs a limp. He needs the assistance.
Well, what do you do with Steve Rogers? Do you kill him or do you just
play? No. Cap's dead. He's dead.
Cap's dead.
Yeah, that but goes that's when
they have a perfect opportunity to introduce somebody like Isaiah Bradley.
I would assume they're going to give Falcon or Winter Soldier, though.
What's his name? Sebastian Stan?
Yeah.
He's not Captain America. I'm sorry.
But he played Captain America for...
you guys really want... I mean, is Anthony Mackie Captain America?
No, absolutely not. If they make him Captain America, I'm not seeing that, though.
Fuck you guys me. Think the whole John Cena rumor is false, then?
John Cena?
As Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
No. Wait, is that really a real rumor?
It's all over the internet. How have you not seen it?
Oh, Jesus. I'm not on the look right now, but no, I am not on board for that.
But, you know, honestly, John Cena's got some comedic roots, but I just feel like he's a little too stiff and just, you know, to throw a 25-cent word out there, like, phenotypically, that's not what fucking Captain America looks like. Like, he's built wrong to be Captain America.
Wait, but hold on a minute. Who would he be? What character would he be playing?
Are you talking about John Cena?
Yeah. What character would he be?
He would be playing, technically, the Captain.
Oh, man. I remember
in comic history, Steve Rogers hung up the uniform and walked away.
Right.
So the government hired Taskmaster to train the new Captain Americas, and after three guys he was training, one guy was chosen who became the new Captain America. When the new Captain America hit the scene, Steve didn't like that, so Steve took up the identity of the Captain, which was a black uniform with red and white across down the chest for the flag, and another shield that was just, I think, solid blue with a white star in the center of it. He went by the name of the Captain. They fought a couple times and then decided the guy who was currently playing the Captain was a little too psychopath. Like, he was literally killed a couple people. He stepped down from Captain America. Steve went back into the role as Captain America. And then this new guy took the role of the Captain, took the suit and the shield, and became just the Captain. Which then became U.S. Agent. Maybe that name strikes a better bell with you guys.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard of Captain, but I mean, do we really think that Marvel's going to go that route?
I don't know, but it would. It would work.
But no. You know what we could? You know what Marvel could do? They could go with instead of Iron Man, they could go Patriot.
Patriot would be interesting.
In fact, if they're really stuck on this Anthony Mackie bullshit, which I will write them a fucking hate letter if they do that shit.
I mean, if they're going to go that route, honestly, I'd rather go Winter Soldier as Cap than Falcon.
Right, but if they're stuck on this Anthony Mackie bullshit.
Nah, Sebastian Stan, I think he's signed on for like another 4 or 5 films. So I think he's actually next up to be Captain America.
They could easily blend the storyline. They could inject him with some backwater bullshit serum and come up with the Patriot. Like, it could be done. Fuck, if they decide to reveal the fact that Nick Fury has been injected with the, you know, the super soldier serum and he's a little older than we think he is, they could even, like, really do it the same way, because that's how Patriot got his powers of blood transfusion from Isaiah Bradley. Like, they could do it.
Well, there's talk about that, too, because of a leaked scene. Or a leaked photo from a scene where Hawkeye is training a girl to shoot bow and arrow.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the Young Avengers, where the Patriot's in, Hawkeye is a girl.
Yeah, no, I think they're gonna take this next phase to start introducing us to some of the different iterations of these characters. Because I mean, honestly, they have to. I mean, Chris Evans is bald. Robert Downey Jr. is 98 years old. Like, this shit ain't gonna last forever. So
I read an interesting thing about so one of the characters they introduced in the comics is Ironheart. It's like a follow up to Iron Man. I read one that suggested. Well, what if they made Shuri Ironheart?
Well, she's supposed to be next Black Panther.
No, and that's fine too. But I'd be fine with. I thought that was kind of an interesting turn, like giving her a suit of armor, and it's like, oh well. I mean, that way
because she is smart. They've established Shuri as the smartest person in the MCU.
Right, and so she picks that mantle up, gets a suit of armor. You keep T'Challa around as Black Panther, and you get her now with a suit of armor.
You infuse that suit with vibranium, that motherfucker's unstoppable. But right. I honestly believe we're thinking too small, because with the inclusion of the Immortals, the Eternals, they're skipping
which I think is a mistake, by the way.
They're skipping over the Inhumans. The Eternals is they're gonna have the first fully gay character in a film, and like Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
At some point, people believe Nova is gonna show up. So if Nova shows up, like we're now at a place where the scope of the films that we're watching is much larger than somebody like Captain America can deal with. Plain and simple, like we're quibbling over whether or not a Terran.
Well, but I mean,
on hand, like
we're getting a Black Panther. We're getting a Black Widow movie too.
Sure, but that's a prequel. They're moving backwards with that. We're talking about moving forward, and we're going into a much larger space. We're looking at a space where, you know, motherfuckers can. Captain Marvel just put a goddamn mask on and gave herself a mohawk, and fly through space and blow ships up with her bare body. All right. Nova is probably second most powerful because the rest of Nova Corps has been already blown up in Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
By that token, though, how are they going to do Black Panther 2?
I'm not sure what that story is going to be, but, I mean, they already told you that they opened up Wakanda to the rest of the world. So,
yeah, they told you that.
No. I guess what I mean is, yes, they're going to go that route, but
maybe that is the introduction to Namor.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. I mean, that's an interesting way to take it.
Because at some point,
I just had a thought. They could go the Illuminati route.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That way you can rope in Professor X too.
Well, they've already said that John Krasinski is scheduled to be Mr. Fantastic.
What?
And that gets Robert Downey Jr., so to speak, out of the suit. And correct. Let's not forget that Black Panther is the king of the dead. Like his power,
his new home is Necropolis.
Yeah, his power set expands, so he could kind of grow into sort of like a bigger role.
Should he becomes the Black Panther who protects Wakanda? T'Challa is the Black Panther of the Necropolis.
Yeah, not my favorite iteration of the story.
It's not a great iteration, and I think it's way too convoluted for the screen. But there's an idea that if you can bring Hank McCoy, Reed Richards, and I think Krasinski is an awesome Reed Richards.
I'm not convinced.
I'll tell you what. I mean, if you're gonna do that, make her. Make Emily Blunt Invisible Woman too.
Sure. Look, keep the checks in the family. I don't give a shit. But what more does this motherfucker have to do to convince you? The motherfucker can write. He can direct some shit. He can act. You're not gonna sit up here and tell me that A Quiet Place wasn't a good film.
I never watched The Office. So
fuck The Office. That had nothing to do with what he's doing now.
I don't watch that new shit he's on. Ain't he the new Jack Byer or Jack Ryan or some shit like that?
Yeah, he is the new Jack Ryan. That had nothing to do with what you're talking about now.
I haven't watched that. I did watch The Quiet Place. It was okay. Like, I didn't find any calling in it. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling the smartest man in the Marvel Universe, period. I'm not feeling that from him. I don't get that. I don't see that from him.
Marvel don't make mistakes, dude. At this point, they don't make mistakes.
So, I mean, this is true. This is true. I can trust the product.
They got benefit of the doubt. Like,
yeah, they got that blue magic. And
they got that blue magic. You going got up that there. Blue magic. You're going to pay five more for what they got.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm just saying I don't see it yet. But I didn't see this movie either, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I don't see him as Reed Richards, man.
Nobody saw Chris Evans as fucking Captain America either. After the failed turn as a Human Torch.
You're right about that. I did not.
Nobody even knew that Robert Downey was even still acting. They thought he had already died on an overdose. But hit his motherfucker.
Wrong for that.
All right. So we're here now. Realistically, Carol don't have to carry every scene. All she has to do is be the most powerful motherfucker in the room. That's it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if she is, though, frankly.
Carol is by far the most
powerful. Easily the most powerful character in the universe now.
Keep in mind, Carol has not even gotten to all of her powers. She just unlocked, like, base level.
But she's going to whoop Thanos' ass.
Yeah. She could dog Thanos by herself.
But do I have to remind y'all that they had to bring out this fake-ass character, the Sentry, to take down World War Hulk? She's not the most powerful character in the universe, period.
No. I mean in the Marvel universe right now, like MCU. In the MCU.
Yeah, and I don't think Bob's coming out in the MCU. I don't think there's going to be a Sentry.
Okay, but I'm saying
Sentry's kind of whack, though. MCU.
And World War Hulk, based upon what we saw in Ragnarok, is a real possibility. It's an avenue that they may go, which I would love to see them do. But
I heard it's going to be Worldbreaker Hulk.
Well, then she's definitely not the most powerful character in the universe. Worldbreaker Hulk is a motherfucker. Yeah, I actually heard that they're thinking about doing Professor Hulk, which I'm all on board for. All on board for.
Have to wait and see. 34 more days.
Word.
I don't think many people checking for that shit. But
Professor Hulk? Huh?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
It's an interesting storyline, but I mean,
right. Grey Hulk.
Fuck you, man. Mr. Fix-It would be kind of funny. I feel like Mr. Fix-It would be kind of a dope.
You can't go from a character that was on another planet as the biggest gladiator of all time to Mr.
Oh, no, they can't. They can't go there now. I'm just saying that it's a good character. But no, they can't go there now. No.
Okay. Look. We have exhausted all of this. I'm going to skip the favorite part. I don't know if any of y'all watched The Umbrella Academy. I did. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I did.
It was fun.
I have not seen it yet.
Ellen Page was good. Mary J. Blige is fantastic. This is
better than I thought she would be. And that storyline between those two agents, very interesting.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a good flick. I watched all of it. I probably finished it within the course of about maybe 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Really good story. Really interesting. Well plotted. You know,
you could see the turn coming, but it didn't stop you from enjoying it.
Right, and it was a logical turn. It's one of those
absolutely
where the plot they didn't make the characters fit the plot fit the character. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's something that a lot of people get wrong. So I dug it. I dug the fuck out of it. Like, I'm all on board. I can't wait to see more of it. I highly recommend. You know, like, y'all, if you're on Netflix one day and you don't know what to watch, if you haven't seen Umbrella Academy, pull that shit up, yo. It's very fucking interesting.
I just saw Carl yawning. He must have been thinking about The Umbrella Academy.
Ah.
And the fact that I got to get up to 5 hours and go to work.
Well, go ahead and say your piece on The Umbrella Academy, then you can peace out, man.
I did not read the comics.
Yeah, I haven't read the comics either.
So I walked into this fresh, and like you said, you saw the big reveal coming.
Wait, hold on a minute. Let's not talk about it. I know nothing about it.
I'm not mentioning what it is, Scott.
Okay.
But I saw the big, me and my wife saw the big reveal coming, I think at episode one.
Yep.
And not quite one, but yeah, it was telegraphed pretty fucking clearly.
And the fact
y'all smarter than me.
That it's real talky.
Now that is true.
It's real, that is true. Real talky.
Not a lot of action.
There's a lot of good scenes. There's a lot of nice scenes. It's well acted. It's good looking. It ended, and I was just like, eh, I don't even care if it gets to another one.
Really?
Really?
I don't think that's true, man.
I found the themes of betrayal and like learning your true self later in life to be very compelling. And I'm using all these fucking 50-cent words and phrases. I'm trying to talk around what I really want to fucking say. But I found the themes in the show like compelling and interesting, especially the idea. We all staunchly in our middle ages, right? So think about a character who lives kind of like us. They're the flip side of us, where I still feel like I'm in my early to mid 20s, but my knees don't. and we got the opposite of that in this show. I found that extremely compelling. Like, I think that they're working on some stuff here. I can't wait to see season two. I think it's very interesting what they're doing.
Look, with the ending of season one, it gives you an outstanding jumping off point with infinite possibilities. I think it's a great thing. You get some cameos along the way. You're like, oh, I haven't seen this person in a while, and you know, I love what they give me. I enjoyed it tremendously. I would recommend it. It's probably 7.5 slashes for me.
I'd give it a 6. Yeah,
I say that's fair. I'd say 7.5 slashes. That's fair.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. So that's the Umbrella Academy. Check it if you can. Ellen Page is great. Some good acting. There's some silliness. There's some, let me go ahead and, you know, suspend disbelief for a little while, but still not bad.
Yeah, the plot with the older brother is.
We're not going to talk about that.
I don't get how or why.
We're not talking about that.
All right. All right.
So I watched Happy Death Day to You. This was a sequel to a Groundhog Day with horror film. And it's a good film, man. It's fun. It is not.
It looks fun. Was it as fun as it looked?
It was. It absolutely was. So here's the thing about Happy Death Day to You. If you've seen the original, this makes a ton of sense. If you have not seen the original, you should not see this one because it will ruin the original for you. Jessica Roth, who is the main character, she has a ton of fun here. And she does a great job kind of carrying the franchise. But about 30 minutes to 20 minutes in, this stops being Groundhog Day and turns into something else entirely. And they go on this to give themselves an opportunity to create a secondary film. So I'm pretty excited about it.
That sounds interesting. So this is sort of like a launching pad for a spinoff?
It could. It might. It may well. I think you should.
Did you see Escape Room?
Nobody saw Escape Room. I watched a little bit of it on Cody.
They're doing a franchise of that, I think.
Yeah, they are. I watched a little bit of it on Cody.
Isn't it PG-13?
Yeah, but it's everything you think it's going to be. That doesn't stop it from delivering. Think of the first Saw. The first Saw wasn't particularly gory and bad.
No, I love the first Saw.
It's imaginative. It's fun. fun. The rooms are crazy. Absolutely. So it's not a bad film. It's different. It's weird. Obviously the dialogue's gonna be lacking, and it don't make a ton of sense getting people from point A to point B. But once the rooms start going, you're in for it. But happy Death Day to you. There are moments where that are just pure fun, and then there are moments where you just say, okay, tree. But I think there'll probably be a third one. It makes a ton of money on a really small budget, and they've gone in a completely different direction. They've created a Scooby gang. Whenever you create a Scooby gang, you recognize that.
Budget $9 million, box office $63 million.
There you go.
There you go.
You know what I mean? When you think about shit like that, it don't make any sense to not make another film. So we'll probably see another one of those. Really quick, I think the next, Scott, you saw Us.
I did see Us.
Give us the non-spoilery, non-detail, non-everything hot take fresh out of the theater.
I caught it this evening. My hot take is I like it. I don't think it's as good as Get Out, but it is a good horror flick. It's genuinely creepy. The acting is top notch. It's good. I really enjoyed it, and I think it'll actually age really well too. I'm already kind of looking forward to seeing it again, to kind of catch some of the stuff I may not have caught the first time. So, I liked it.
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's good. We're all excited. I'm scheduled to see it tomorrow. Carl, you're scheduled to see it when?
Whoa.
Catching it Saturday myself. So
Tony, you're too Saturday. That means we're going to have to record really soon again.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the Us discussion will be it'll be a good one.
It'll be akin to this one.
Let me put it this way: the Us discussion will go better. So, not spoilers, but I liked Us better than Captain Marvel. I gave Captain Marvel an 8, so I liked Us better than that. So,
okay, all right, it's good to hear. Maybe I won't.
Hey, in the meantime, I would love for y'all to watch Now on Fire. It's weird, and I don't even know what
the name is. Hey, speaking of comic books, before we get off of it, before they take it down for being for free, watch the first episode of Doom Patrol 2.
Oh, is it free?
It's free on the DC Universe streaming right now. And I'll be honest, the Doom Patrol is a little bizarre, but I read the comics it was based on, the Grant Morrison penned Doom Patrol run. And
we've been talking about Doom Patrol for years.
At least we've been talking about it. It's good. It's strange, but it's a lot darker than I thought it would be. The show, but they nail the characters good. And I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that they got Brendan Fraser's in it. He plays one of the characters. Alan Tudyk plays one of the characters. They got some decent actors in there playing these parts, and it's really good. I mean, the comic book's really bizarre, and the whole story can get a little bizarre at times, but I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I'm thinking about getting the streaming service just to watch that show. So I recommend it. A little bizarre, a little off kilter for a comic book show, but entertaining nonetheless.
All right. Well, I like to hear that. I'll definitely try to get this thing.
What about you, Carl? Do you ever read Doom Patrol?
No, never. I know who the characters are, and I've read other comics where they've made like appearances in.
Okay.
But I never read that Grant Morrison run, which I'm sure it's good. Most of the stuff he does is good.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of it's very off kilter and surreal X-Men-ish kind of. I mean, that's kind of what I would relate it to. But it's good. I mean, or one of the characters in it is this girl named Crazy Jane. She's got 64 personalities, and each one has a different superpower.
It reminds me of Legion, which is coming back on the air with final season very shortly.
I never watched any of that either.
You should.
Did anybody watch any Cloak and Dagger?
No, I've heard mixed things about it. Is it any good?
I don't know.
Three or four episodes of it, I did not like it.
I still haven't watched the second season of Punisher yet.
Neither have I. Or Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, worth it. Punisher's a slog, man.
Oh, no. Punisher season one is good.
I like those shows, but they are a lot.
Bang Bang Shoot 'em Ups don't do it for me for very real reasons. So I'd rather see you catch it with these hands, but I've seen enough.
Especially with 13 episodes. That's just a lot, man.
The bullets don't do it for me.
Yeah, oh, I get it. But the next big one after that is Maz with Octavia Spencer.
So that trailer played before. I had not heard of it or seen it yet. And that trailer played before us today. And I got to be honest with you, that movie looked like a blast.
Yes, it does. It looks like a ton of fun. Octavia's
an
incredible actor. They've given her a ton to do. There's a new horror film called Maz. And
no, it's called
Ma.
Ma.
I put it
in the group chat, Tony, in the trailer.
Octavia Spencer is having the most fun. Like, she's going to enjoy getting up every day and doing this.
I mean, yeah, that movie looks, when I first was watching the trailer, I thought it looked kind of goofy. And then by the end, I was like, you know what? This looks like it's going to be a good little flick.
No, I'm telling you, when I first saw that shit, the first like 45 to 90, I'm like, this is some bullshit.
Yes, it does. It does look like bullshit at first.
And then that turn hit, I was like, oh shit, I'm here for this.
Dude, she was painting people in whiteface and like posing with them in the trailer and shit. Like, whoa.
Yeah, she's having a great time.
Man.
She's having an absolutely great time.
Yep.
And I think that'll be reflected in the actual film. So I'm excited about that. I think that's it.
I think it is. 101. God damn it. We made it.
Yeah, 101. Big show. I'm pretty sure my wife, I woke her up being loud as fuck, yelling at Scott about X-Men films.
yeah, you got a little touched. I think Scott got a second there.
I didn't really give a shit. you got to understand, Scott and I talk about this shit probably every other day outside of the podcast. Like every other day, we're talking about some iteration of.
And X-Men. I've got an X-Men bias, so it's. Yeah. I'll be honest, and you guys throw me under a bus for this one. Another trailer I saw before us was
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix, and I'll be honest, it was one I hadn't seen yet, and I was like, man, you know what? I'm looking forward to watching that too.
I bet you are.
I can't help it. You know, sue me. Sue me.
Scott and I spent a whole weekend together. We were in Cincinnati. We went to the aforementioned Horror Hound. We went to Brugger's Bagels, right? And I asked Scott to tell me about his favorite comic book. This motherfucker lit up like a kid on his first bike when he started talking about the X-Men. I was like, oh, this is your passion. This horror shit is this whatever.
It's the reason I'm into all this past as I call nerd shit is it's all due to that animated series and the X-Men number one comic that came out in the early 90s with the gatefold cover that spreads out into a poster. I mean, I was my little brain exploded when I'm reading about Wolverine and Rogue and Gambit and Cyclops, and it was great.
I can't believe that was your introduction, man. Mine was like late 70s Silver Surfer. That was my first one.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
First comic.
Did you hear one of the rumors is suggesting the first Fox property that Marvel might adapt is Silver Surfer.
Yeah, so you can get Galactus into the
bowl. It could be there across the universe if they do it right. Like, you know, people talk about them
Hey, here you go. Before we leave, I'm going to paint you a great post-credits stinger for Endgame, all right? They set it light years away from Earth. So set on another alien planet. You're watching this alien planet, these people on an alien planet, you know, live their life and whatnot. And everybody looks up into the sky and a character on a surfboard comes down and visits him in the, you know, like a public area where he can speak to everybody, and it's Silver Surfer. And he tells them that their planet's chosen by his master. And as he's speaking, a giant silhouette covers everybody, and you look up in the sky and see the outline of Galactus approach, and then it cuts.
Yeah. That's
the most scene.
He would be the next big bad in line after Thanos.
He's the next logical step if you're going to go big into space.
Well, isn't he an Eternal?
Is he an Eternal? I don't know. See, I don't know a lot about the Eternals, so I don't know.
I think he's just
one of the galactic beings that has. I mean, there's a group of galactic beings out in the universe that are incredibly powerful. Him and Eternity, who's just this guy that's made up of space matter.
Yep.
And I think the Watcher is considered as one of those characters too.
So the Watcher is not just a singular person now. It's like a group.
No.
Well, yeah, but the character is like his name. I don't know how to say his name. It's like UATU Watto.
Yeah.
He's like the main Watcher that we know.
For the Marvel universe.
Correct.
He's like Marvel Watcher. Different sectors have different ones. Goddamn, that might be the nerdiest shit I've ever said in my fucking life. That is the.
Look, we can't even hear you, so it's not that even nerdy.
Sounds like you're just talking to yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like you're walking away from the phone and shit. You know, when you're mad at your girl and just don't want to say nothing she can hear, but you still want to say it, leave the phone off and just be like, that's why I don't like you anyway, stinky lady. But.
Doo-doo head.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is growth to come in the Marvel Universe. I'm not sure. If they do introduce Bob, you know, they will have then just introduced Superman. But they're talking about Adam Warlock being part of Guardians of Galaxy 3. That's already confirmed.
I would like to see Sentry done as a horror movie.
Yeah, a schizophrenic that has all the powers in the world.
That actually could work.
Yeah, but
that'd be a better take than I'm not a big. I think that character's actually. I don't like him at all.
The void.
It's just I don't know. Back to my nitpick with Captain Marvel. She's just almost too powerful to me, and the characters are that way.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong, but I think she's too powerful this encounter. I think she's just powerful enough for what they're calling her.
Well, I agree, but you know, one of the things I like about Marvel better than DC is their characters have they have a humanality to them that, you know, the DC characters are all gods. I mean, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman. I mean, these characters are incredibly powerful. And Marvel, you know, I know Hulk and Thor are pretty powerful too, but you know, in Infinity War, Thor got his ass kicked by Thanos. The first time we see him, Thanos whooped his ass in the movie.
Thanos whooping everybody's ass.
But Thor gets a power up at the end of.
He does, absolutely. But he has to. But the point being, he has to get a power up. Captain Marvel, we meet her in the first movie, and she's already flying in space, blowing up spaceships.
Yep.
And we've yet to see Hulk at his full potential.
That's true too. That's true.
So, I mean, I think, you know, if Thanos had knew what he was walking into, he wouldn't have did this. But he didn't know because they didn't know.
That's true.
All I know is he folded fucking Hulk and he was not tripping off him. So
he showed up, wasn't he? He hit him with some proper boxing technique. And I'm telling you, I was talking to Hulk the other day. He's out hanging out with Mayweather. He's learning his defense. Next time that two-piece comes around with that combo, he's got something for it. He's ready.
That would be awesome. It would. Be awesome to see. Carl, any last comments before we get out of here, man?
Nope. It's late. Let's go.
All right, brother. Carl, appreciate you, man. We'll catch you next time. Go ahead and log off, bro. I'll see you next time, Carl.
Later. It's been a pleasure.
All right, dog. And for my two other guys, Scott and Tom, hey, man, this has been a lively discussion. One where I woke my wife up. She was not happy with me.
Hey, just wait till we get to us, man. That'll be a good one.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, in a good way. Like, we're not going to be bitching at that at all. I'm just saying it'll be a good discussion.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, we got some stuff coming up for the rest of the year. We still have the second.
Well, plus, we still got Endgame is coming up here soon too.
Yeah, Endgame comes out in April.
Yeah,
that's right around the corner. It's going to be a busy. You know, we got us. Endgame, like, it's gonna be a busy little time period.
Far From Home
Stranger
comes out,
is coming out in a minute. The OA
Stranger Thing comes out in July 4th.
Yeah, by the way, that Stranger Things trailer looked good too.
They seem to have the nostalgia thing so well down, man.
They really do.
Well, I mean, they got the time period perfect. I mean, that's Damon. That's you and me, man. That's the time.
The crazy thing is, like, they don't rely on it for storytelling. But no, they find a way to help it enhance every aspect of this story. Yeah,
it's there. And it's funny how that time period is also very reminiscent of the movies I watched during that time period, which was before that. So, like, I look at that and I see Silver Bullet. You know, we talked about this before. Like, they somehow managed to do the time period and the nostalgic perfectly. You know, they've done it really good.
Yep, they do it well. So I'm excited to see what they can continue to create. Although the kids are getting to the point where I think we're pretty much done.
Well, you might be able to. I mean, one of the story beats I always like for every story that I follow, like my favorite stories, I always am intrigued to look at sequels more than prequels are always intriguing to me. And I think at some point you could do one when they're a little older and tell a tale, kind of almost like do it like it, kind of, right. Like a revisit when they're maybe not adults, but even like as teenagers or like, you know, late teens or college. And kind of see how it goes. Yeah, college. I think that would be an interest. Maybe they all return from college and they have to deal with something from the Upside Down or like the Return of the Upside Down or something. And I think that might be an interesting take because then you could do, you know, maybe this goes back to moving nostalgic into the late 90s, early 2000s, which, you know, it's hard for us to look at that as a nostalgic time, but maybe it, you know, for the generation that grew up during that time, you know, I'm sure they're going to be, you know, stoked to see, I don't know. I mean, you could take it in any direction. It's just the sequel idea of, you know, popular stories that we love is always an intriguing aspect to explore.
My bad, I was on mute. Yeah, I think that's just really interesting. I think it'd be very cool. My fault, man. This has been episode 101 for Tom, for Scott, for Carl. We are Get Out the Room, your place for horror, pop culture, and everything you like. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Wicked Radio Network, Listenopoly, any place good podcasts are found. We appreciate all of you, and we can't wait for what's coming up soon. So we'll be back really shortly with the next episode. Fellas, we out?
We out.
Peace.